You may be seated, and I introduce to you a man who needs no introduction. The last time I heard that, somebody spent 15 minutes introducing me. I'm not going to do that, Joe, but we have been praying for you and your family especially. We'll continue to pray for you as you step up here and read and proclaim God's word.
I would first like to thank you all for your prayers during this time. It's been a pretty trying month, but thank you for praying for Faith and Winchester and I during this time. They are doing better, and thank you for your prayers. They're very appreciated, as well as the food and as well as the visits. We are very grateful to each of you, and we have truly found our church family during this time. So thank you for that. Also, Faith in Winchester may or may not be here this morning. But before I lose you, I'll need to think of an illustration and a story, and I'm glad I already have one. Harry Houdini, an escape artist, a magician. There was nothing he could not pick, no lock he could not get out of, no cell he could not get out of. He was invincible and could get himself out of any type of contraption. So one day a sheriff contacted him, and there was a new jail in the Midwest, a brand new jail. And the sheriff said, "Houdini, I bet that you cannot get yourself out of this jail." And so Houdini took him up on it and went to this jail in the Midwest, and they closed him in. And everyone stepped back to see, because everyone wanted to see what Houdini was capable of. And so they watched as he was in this cell. And so for a time, Houdini worked at the lock, tried to pick the lock, and worked for quite some time, and eventually gave up. He gave up. And the sheriff stepped forward and went to the door and opened it and said, "Mr. Houdini, the door was never locked." So how often do we as Christians act as if we are enslaved, that we're in a cell, that we are locked, when in fact the door has been unlocked? Christ has set us free from this cell, and we are His. The illustration there. So today we turn to Galatians, the book of Galatians, where Paul is writing to Galatia. It's important to see this letter as a whole and see what's going on as a whole. Important to see this as letters that Paul is writing here. So we will look at Galatians 4, 1 through 7. But this book of Galatians, it doesn't have a Thanksgiving section, unlike the other letters of Paul, because Paul gets right to the point, right to the point to Galatia. Paul skips the Thanksgiving and gets right to it, because the very gospel is at stake in Galatia. The very gospel of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ came to do was at stake. And so Paul gets right to it and addresses at this point. In these verses that we will look at, we will find the doctrine of adoption, and we will find the Trinity, each person of the Trinity, at work in this passage. So let us look now to Galatians 4, 1 through 7. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under the guardians and stewards until the time appointed by his father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. As Dr. Reed says, let me pray for you as you pray for me. Dear gracious God, our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. It is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that you will open our hearts and our minds that we may learn more about you and draw closer to you and learn more and more what it's like to be in this family, this adopted family, this family that is eternal, that lasts forever, and that holds together. I pray for this time as we look to your word and look to Scripture. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So there's 3 points today. It is slavery, salvation, and sonship. Slavery, salvation, and sonship. The passage first starts out talking about that an heir is just like a slave because he is under the guardians and the rulers of his time until his father appoints him to be the master over all. So this heir that's describing is just like a slave, even though he is a master. It is at this point, and that also that we are slaves. We're slaves under the law and slaves at this time to the law. And that's what takes Christ Jesus. And so it describes here this person who is enslaved, but whose time will come. So it sets the picture here. This book also, this letter also points out that we were all enslaved to the law. We're all enslaved. And so, verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So this makes a comparison to us. We are enslaved. We are in bondage. And we are living for the world and living for worldly things, whether it's living for performance, whether it's living for climbing up the corporate ladder, whether it's living for the things of the world. That is what we are in bondage to, the things of the world. And verse 4 takes a shift. It takes a turn. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. When the fullness of time had come, God in His providence, in His understanding, set forth when His Son would come into the world. We have this time, this beautiful imagery, this beautiful phrase, when the fullness of time had come. Down through creation, our Creator, our God, created the universe, created this world, and we find that Adam and Eve sinned, and God called a people for Himself. And He delivered these people from slavery, out of bondage in Egypt, and gave them instruction, and these people were disobedient. They turned from the Lord and lived their own way, and God sent prophets. God sent prophets before to prophesy and to speak the word of the Lord, and they prophesied that one would come, their prophecies, that one would come in the fullness of time. And it is in this fullness of time that Jesus Christ comes. The Son of God comes. In the fullness of time had come. God sent forth His Son. This is incarnation. This is God coming to us. God being made flesh among us and dwelling among us. This is Jesus coming to this earth, taking on an earthly form, becoming 100% human while still being 100% God. This is what Jesus has done, and God has sent forth His Son and is into this world that He sends Him. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. What is Paul doing here? Aren't we all born of a woman at some point? We find several things in this section of being born of a woman here in verse 4. We see this virgin birth. We proclaimed it with the Apostles' Creed earlier, that this miraculous birth, that Jesus was born of a virgin, born of Mary. This amazing thing done by the Holy Spirit. We also find, being born of a woman, that this gospel is to all people, is extended to all people, whether Jew or Gentile, slave nor free. There is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's verse 28 before chapter 4 begins. That we're His, there's no distinction. The gospel is extended to all, whether male or female. And also with this birth, there is beauty that we find in birth. And I have recently seen the beauty that comes from birth and with my own wife and son in that time. So Jesus is born of a woman, and there is so much there to that. He is born under the law. Jesus is God, and He willingly submitted Himself to be under the law, submitted Himself to this earth, to take on a human form, and He is submitted Himself under the law. And what He does with that is when we are in slavery, when we are in bondage, we are shackled, chained, have rags over us. And what Christ does is He takes those rags, those chains, those shackles off of our shoulders and places them upon Himself as He submits Himself under the law, and He bears that for us. He becomes a curse for our sake, and we find redemption in that, which we will soon get to. That He was born under the law. What beauty is in that. Verse 5, He came to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. This is redemption. This is what Christ has done for us, what Christ has done for us on the cross, redeeming us, calling us His own, calling us His beloved, bringing us into this adopted family. That is what Christ has done. This redemption that is made ours through Christ Jesus. The beauty of redemption, as we were singing it in the hymns before. We see it on display now, that we are redeemed. We were bought with a price. We were enslaved to the world, and God, in the fullness of time, sent forth His Son to redeem us and to claim us as His own, to claim us as sons. This is sonship. Now, ladies, you want to be sons in this picture, in this image, because sons shows that you're the firstborn, that you're receiving the inheritance, that you are called His, that you get the benefits of sonship. So this is a good thing for all of us. Sonship. And this picture of adoption that we find, of being God's. Some of my best friends were from an earthly adoption, adopted from South Korea. And some of you have met my friend David before. But as I was looking at this doctrine of adoption, and thinking over this, I figured I could easily contact them and ask them so I could compare the earthly adoption to the adoption that we have in God. And I figured that I could make an easy parallel to that by asking them. But what I found out in talking with them is that earthly adoption has a sense of loss to it. There's a breakdown in the family, whether it's the family that the child comes from, or from infertility, or from a change in culture. There is always a loss involved in that. But there's also a loss involved in the gospel, in Jesus becoming a curse for us and Jesus dying for us. That is a loss in and of itself. Yet, it is not, because Jesus comes out victorious. And so this parallel between earthly adoption and heavenly adoption is very much different. And another distinction that we find in this difference is found in verse 6 with giving of the Holy Spirit. Something different in this adoption is that the Holy Spirit is given. Verse 6, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" This is personal. This is real. This is God sending forth the Holy Spirit into our hearts, crying out, "Abba, Father." And we find in Romans 8:26 that this Spirit is at work within us and for us. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. With groanings too deep for words. That is what the Holy Spirit does for us. As God sends the Holy Spirit into our hearts, the Holy Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, as this personal declaration, this personal cry. So that's a wonderful reminder that even when we are going through hard times, even when we don't have the words to say, even when we don't know what to pray, we can have the assurance and we can know that the Holy Spirit is crying out to God the Father for us on our behalf with groanings too deep for words. Groanings too deep for words. So even when we don't know what to pray, even when the words don't seem to hit deep enough, the Holy Spirit goes even deeper with groanings too deep for words. What a beautiful reminder. Therefore, verse 7, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So this happens. We are adopted into God's family. We are a part of God's family. We're a part of this wonderful family. He wraps His arms around us and calls us His. We are no longer slaves, but we are sons. We are under God's hand. And it's in this beauty that we are set free, that we are called His beloved. And it's through the work of Christ Jesus that we can claim this family, that we can claim this adoption, that we can be a part of this family. We are adopted. We are called His. There are many in this adopted family who have gone before us. As we think of this time, we're remembering those who have gone before us, those who have fought for us. We're thankful for that, and they also extend in this family, in this unit, in this family together. We are called His. This is the family that I want to be a part of, and it's a family that has made itself a part of me. Don't you want to be a part of this family too? This church has a lot of big families in it, a lot of prominent families. But as we look at this big family, this family that crosses all kinds of divides because Jesus has crossed every divide for us, as we look at this family, we see all tribes, tongues, and nations coming together and being a part of this one family, this one unit. And so here you can throw in a few Womacks in this congregation and a few Wars and the Wilkinsons. And I like three W's in a row. But throw in some Adams as well. It's this family together that we can call ours, that crosses divides because Jesus crossed every divide for us. And I don't have to mention everybody because it's all one family, one big, happy family. And how happy it will be one day when the veil is rolled back and when the trumpet sounds and when Jesus descends on a cloud before us. What a glorious day that will be. So how do we get from slavery to sonship? How do we get from being enslaved to the world to being called sons, to being included in this family? We get there by way of salvation, by way of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. It is what He has done on the cross that we receive salvation, and it links us from slavery to sonship. Salvation. Let us pray. Abba, Father, we are thankful to You this day. We are thankful that we can be Yours, that we can be Your children, that we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ in fellowship with each other and fellowship with You, our Father. This is personal, this is real, this is You coming down to us, You setting us free, you extending grace to us so that we may live and love. We thank you for your goodness to us and your grace. And may we go in remembering that we are a part of a family much bigger than our own, that we are called yours and your beloved. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.